you have your Bibles, I would ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2. And I'm going to stop a little short of what you maybe think. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5 in Luke chapter 2. These verses are very familiar to you. Hopefully we can find something a little different for you to think about than maybe you have before. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Then it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we gather together today in this place, we come and we praise you, Lord, for who you are. For, Lord, it was in this season that we celebrate that you gave us the greatest gift that was ever given, with a love that we do not still understand and truly do not deserve. For, Lord, you sent your own for us to save us, take us from being slaves to being your children in your family, with a love that knows no bounds, that there is no height, depth, or width that can be reached where we can run from it. And it started with that gift being born and laid in a feed trough. Lord, we thank you for that love, and we praise you for that love. And we pray, Lord, that we might have a portion of that love for one another and for others. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us where we have sinned and fallen short. For we have all sinned and fallen short of your glory. But we know that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Help us, Lord, to be the people that you've called us to be. For we are your workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for works that you prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Bless this service. Bless each one here, and bless those who cannot be here this morning. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Here in the very first verse, and actually the second, well, part of the first phrase in that first verse, and it came to pass in those days. If you remember over in Galatians chapter 4, he says, in the fullness of time, in those days. What was special about those days? Why was the fullness of time brought here at that one point? Well, there could be several reasons. One of them was that what was going on that time, if you knew the ancient world and everything that was going on, you'd went through the times of where you had the Assyrians, who were these barbaric people who conquered a lot of the world, and then the Babylonians, and then you had the Medes and Persians, and then you had the Greeks. And the Greeks were the ones who thought all the great ideas, but it was the Romans who put all the great ideas to work. And what happened when the Romans came along, well, Julius Caesar came and took over the Republic, then he would die, and then it would be Augustus, the one who's mentioned here, who was his nephew, who would take over in about 30 BC, and he will be the one who would restore, or who would really bring Rome to its height. And what happened during the reign of Caesar Augustus? Well, there was three things that probably happened during the Caesar time that made this that time, made it the time where things are perfect for the world, for the birth of Jesus Christ. One, there was a thing called Pax Roma. There was Roman peace. Now, if you went on the edge of the frontier of the Roman Empire, yeah, they were fighting, trying to gain new areas. But within the Roman Empire itself, there was, for the most part, peace, if nothing else, because there were legions of soldiers around there, and nobody wanted to, you know, cause a ruckus too much. You know, you bring in a battalion of Marines into a city, things are going to be pretty quiet, right? Yeah, it was the same way here. The Roman peace. So there was some peace that was going on in most territories. Now, Judea, there was always this tension of, you know, you're trying to tell us that you're going to rule over us, and we're Jews, and we have our beliefs and faiths, and don't you shove anything down our throats. They had an independent streak, and there were those minor rebellions, but the Romans put those down pretty quick. So there was pretty much peace across the empire. The other thing that happened, that was going on, was the Romans built great roads. They built roads that some of those roads are still used today. So now was a time and a place in the world where people in their empire could travel great distances. You could, I've seen a map just recently that said all roads lead to Rome. And they did. There was roads that went throughout the empire, and all of them would end up leading back to Rome. So you could go from clear over in what is now Iraq and go all the way to the edge of France, and then I guess you caught a boat to get into Great Britain where they control that also. So they had roads so that things could travel. Why did God wait till then? Well, there's one other thing. There was also pretty much a universal language. The Romans spoke and wrote in Latin, and they did all their official stuff in Latin. But what did most of the people in the empire speak? They spoke Greek. They sure did. They spoke Greek. And so when Jesus, if you remember, when he was actually nailed to the cross, they put it in three different languages. They put it in Hebrew, they put it in Arabic, and they also put it in Greek. So you had these things. And God knew that when these people come along, that in the fullness of time, he had things prepared so that his son could be born, so that he could then spread his message, and even more important, so then his disciples, they could go throughout, where? The ends of the earth, to spread the message. See, God's always working. Sometimes we don't know it. Because if you think of the 400 years before Christ was born, what did the Jewish people think? God had been silent. There had been no prophet since Malachi. And they were wondering, is God done talking to us? This was part of the rise of the Pharisees, okay? God's not telling us anything anymore, so here, we're going to make sure that we follow the law and we don't break it, because God's not going to give us another revelation. So we got to make sure that we're doing things right. God is always at work, even when we don't see it. He's still working. And he's doing that today. He's doing it today. See, God was working on all this, and he raised up Julius Caesar, had Julius Caesar appoint Caesar Augustus, and then Caesar Augustus at this time said, we need to register everybody. Now, unlike pretty much today, when we have election day, I say pretty much because sometimes our election days get... It's not a day, it's, you know, can be some places a couple of months, it seems like. But these decrees and these registrations usually took a couple of years. It wasn't something, okay, everybody on this day show up in this place and get registered. It's usually a couple years. And so God is working all these things together. And see, what else would he have to work out? He had to work out a couple of people that are mentioned here. In verse 4, a guy named Joseph, and in verse 5, a gal named Mary. Did you ever think, what was life really like for Joseph and Mary? See, when we read these first 5 verses, it says, you know, you got to go register. And it says that Mary was betrothed as wife to Joseph. But see, God was also having to wait for these people. What was Mary? As I was doing some reading, trying to find out, do you know how long it takes to walk from Nazareth to Bethlehem? Well, do you know how far it is? As the crow flies, it's 69 miles. But if you remember, you have Nazareth, which is up in Galilee. And then what do you have in between Galilee and Judea?
Samaria.
Do Jews walk through Samaria? No. So they're not walking as the crow flies. So they have to walk about an extra 40 miles around. And you also notice that in here it says in verse 4, Joseph also went up from Galilee. See, where Nazareth is, it's located relatively close. It's a few miles from the Sea of Galilee, but it's in a lower area. Bethlehem and Jerusalem set up on a hill, because Bethlehem is just outside of Jerusalem, just a few miles. So Mary and Joseph have to walk down. They walk across the Jordan River. They have to walk around Samaria, come back into Judea, cross the river again, and walk up the hill. It took them at least, more than likely, 10 days. Now, for all you ladies that have been pregnant, how many of you, when you're 8-9 months pregnant, want to walk at least 10 miles a day and some of that uphill? Any volunteers? No. Because, see, the Bible doesn't say anything, even though in all of our pictures, we always have Mary riding on a donkey. The only one that the Bible ever tells us for sure rode on a donkey was who? Jesus. So we don't know if they had a donkey or not. And Joseph is there. We don't know how old they are. They're probably relatively young. What do we know for sure? Or what can we deduce for sure? They were people of faith. We know that. We know that God had to prepare two people of faith, because they have probably the most important job the world has ever seen, to raise the Lord God on high's child as a human. And so they had to be people of faith. We know that they are, because if you go back and you read the account in Matthew, what happens with Matthew? Well, if we remember, if we go back in Luke into the first chapter, we have the whole thing with Zacharias and then Elizabeth, and Elizabeth gets pregnant, and then Mary gets visited by the angel. And the angel says, there's what's going to happen. And my guess is the angel probably had a little bit more conversation than probably just what's recorded. Because I bet Mary may have had some questions. I would have had some questions. But she said, I'll be the bondservant of the Lord. What do you do when God tells you to do something that's like, wow, that's way outside my comfort zone? I remember when I was pastoring my very first church, bivocational, like Joe is, and we had a revival at the church. And the outcome of the revival was, God told me, it's time for you to pack up everything you have and to go to Kansas City and go to seminary. I mean, we didn't have much. I was working, pastoring a little church. Robin was an EMT at the local hospital. When there they ran the ambulances out of the hospital. So if the ambulance had to go out, she was doing that. She was getting ready to go to paramedic school. And God said, it's time to go. And I often wondered for years after that, God, why did you make us wait so long? Why was it then? Now, I think I may have said this before, but I think it was about 5 years ago, I got a letter from local 655 to the estate of Ed Tanner. That's kind of strange when you see something to the estate has your name on it, you know. There's been a data breach, yada, yada, yada. Okay. I thought, why do you all have my information anyway? Called him up. And in the midst of talking, he said, you know, you're eligible for a pension from us. I didn't know that. Had no clue. They hadn't had this data breach, I would have never known that. See, in the fullness of time, in those days, sometimes we don't realize what God is doing in the background and what he wants us to do and how he might want us to exercise our faith, and do we have ears that are listening to hear his voice. We moved. It's funny, when I got ready to retire and ask for my Social Security records to go over those, there was a year I was working and doing everything. There was a year I went to school. Wow. There was a 67% drop in income. But you know what? God took care of it all. Same way with Joseph and Mary. The angel comes to Joseph because Mary comes back, and she, maybe just Mary just went to, the Bible does not tell us. Somehow Joseph finds out that Mary's pregnant. And Joseph loved Mary so much and was such a kind-hearted man. He didn't want to put her away, didn't want to have her stoned or anything like that. He just, you know, put her away quietly. But then God, through the angel, spoke to him and said, Joseph, what Mary has is of God. And you're going to call his name Jesus, for he's going to save his people from their sin. And Joseph did. And Mary was the same. She said, Lord, if I'm the one that you picked, then why in the world you would ever pick me? I don't know. But and you know what? When God does that, that is the question he asks. Why in the world would you pick me? You know me better than anybody. So why would you pick me? Because God can see what you can become. Not just what you are, but God can see what you can become. And so these two people, Joseph the carpenter, maybe also a mason too, he's a builder, and Mary take off on their trek. And I'm sure as they're walking to Bethlehem, they're thinking, why are we doing this? I don't know if the angel spoke to them and said, you know, now Jesus has to be born in Bethlehem. Maybe they knew the prophecy there in Micah chapter 5, that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. but they take and they start their long journey, prepared and ready. Maybe not excited, but they're on their way. The thing that gets me about this for these verses are that in everything in life, God is at work. Sometimes we realize it, sometimes we don't. The real question for us is, do we have ears that are listening to hear what God may be telling us? Are we open to what God may be telling us? See, God has no age limit, too young or too old. And I'm looking, I think, at the youngest and the oldest here when I say that. There's no age limit to service for God. God just calls people who have faith. And like that father that brought his son to Jesus and said, your disciples can't heal him. What can you do? And Jesus said, do you have faith? He said, Lord, help my unbelief. When we look to God and say, help my unbelief, there is nothing that is impossible for God to do through us, in us, for his kingdom. But they had to get on that road to Bethlehem to be where God wanted, because God had set everything up. What's God setting up in your life right now? Where is it God wants you to go? What is it that God wants you to do? No, Jesus, God's not asking you to have a virgin birth. But maybe God's asking you to talk to your neighbor. I don't know what God's asking you. But are we willing to answer the call like Mary and Joseph? Because I'm sure even after he was born, it wasn't always easy. And I'm sure at the crucifixion for Mary, it was very hard. But God helps us through everything. And this season of the year reminds us of the greatest gift ever given. And hopefully it is a gift everyone here has accepted. But like some gifts, maybe it's not fully utilized. Are you letting God do everything in your life that he wants to do?